Amen. Right, it's my pleasure to invite Wendy up. Many of you do know her. She is a familiar face, but has travelled down from Bedford, and she's brought with her her friends Kate and Becky as well. So Wendy served us so well last night, and already this morning she's going to teach us all about worship. I'm really excited about it. So Wendy, it is all yours.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everybody. Morning. Morning. Lovely to see you all. Take two for me. We had such a good morning. Woo! It's going to be good. It's going to be so good. I don't know about you, but I often think that I am so in love with Jesus, but I hardly know him. Does anyone else ever have that feeling? Like, Jesus, you're amazing. I'm so in love with you. And then you think, I've got no clue really who he is. Like, I'm just scratching the surface of how amazing he is. And I'm so hungry to know him more. I just long to get more revelation of how amazing he is, to see him, to know his heart, to know his nature more and more. And I know that you guys are hungry for more of Jesus here and hungry for his presence. And one of the ways I think we grow in revelation of how amazing Jesus is, how amazing God is through worship. And so I want to talk a bit about worship in this session, in this meeting. And then we're going to give it a go, and we're actually going to take some time to just love Jesus and worship him. And I'm trusting that as we do that, there are going to be moments of revelation around the room. My heart for you guys this morning, more than anything, is that you would leave here being more amazed at Jesus and falling more in love with him. And so that's what we're going to do. And so is that okay? You guys happy with that? We're going to read from Psalm 100. So I think it's on the screen there. Such a rich psalm. Debbie, would you mind reading it to us? There's no choice. Debbie, can you come and read it to us?
Well, I'm going to face this way. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him, singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise him, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation.
Thank you so much, my friend. Such a rich psalm, isn't it? We could talk about many, many things from this psalm. But this morning, I just want to focus in on one verse, which is verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, go into his courts with praise. And actually, out of that verse, I only want to pick out one word. So we're going to make it super simple this morning, and we're going to talk about praise. I want us to look at what does it mean to praise. And in this psalm, the psalmist is using imagery of coming to the temple. When we come to the temple, in the Old Testament, they would come to the temple to worship and sacrifice. We enter his gates with thanksgiving, come into his courts with praise. And obviously the goal, the aim when we come to Jesus, we come to worship, is to enter into the Holy of Holies. What we're longing for is intimacy. We're longing for his manifest presence to come, his glory to fall, and us to have those moments of we just know that God has drawn really near. But if you're anything like me, it takes a while for my heart to get warmed up to the truth about who God really is. It takes me a while to remember. And praise is a great entry point into the presence of God. The truth is we can come into intimacy in the Holy of Holies whenever we want because of Jesus. Jesus has torn the curtain in two, and we can enter into the presence of God whenever we want to. It's an incredible gospel. God's grace is amazing. But if you're anything like me, you need some help remembering how amazing Jesus is. And praise is the best way to do that. Praise is when we remember who Jesus is, what he's done for us. It reminds us and it stirs our hearts to worship. And so we're going to talk a bit about praise. And I don't know if you know this, but there's lots of different words for praise in Scripture that mean different things and talk about different ways that praise looks. But in our Bibles, all of those words are translated praise. So we read praise, 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 but often they have different meanings. And so I want to just unpack quickly 7 different words for praise, and then we're going to take some time to worship Jesus and put some stuff into practice. So apologies for the pronunciations of these words, but first one, number one, barak. This means to kneel or to bow down in adoration. It's a humble position before God. And what I love about this word and many other words we're going to look at this morning is that it says nothing about singing or worship or songs or music. This praise is to do with your posture, the posture of your body before God. Actually, if in a time of worship, or when you come to Jesus, if you kneel down, or if you bow down, or if you lay down, those are all postures of praise. They are humble positions before Jesus, before God, remembering who he is, his superiority, humbling ourselves before him to lift him up. So the first one, Barak, it's important that we realize we get to praise with our bodies. Second one, Yada. To throw out the hand, to worship with an extended hand, to lift the hands. Again, this word for praise is about our physical bodies responding to him and who he is and how amazing he is. It's about our hands being lifted in adoration and worship. It's more about just singing. It's more than just about singing. It's about our bodies responding. And I remember when I was growing up, I used to go to a Baptist church. It was a great church, beautiful people, but the worship was very different. So we would sing hymns from a book, and we would stand up at certain points in the meeting. We'd sing this hymn, but there was no physical expression of anything to do with praise. It was singing the hymn, sit down, rest of the meeting, stand up, sing a hymn, sit down. And so when I moved to Bedford when I was 18, I went to the King's Arms Church, and I entered into a worship time like you guys have just had. And people were lifting their hands in worship. I was looking around the room and thinking, what on earth is happening? You're all weird. This is so bizarre. People are lifting their hands and moving their arms around. And I thought it was really, really odd. But then I got to know Jesus. I did an Alpha course and I met with God. And my heart started to change. And more as I got to know Jesus, there was a longing in me to express my love to him with my body. I wanted to do that. I wanted to lift my hands, but I was so scared. I was so full of fear. I honestly thought that if I were to lift my hands, everyone in the room would watch me. I just thought, I can't do it. I was so scared, but I longed to do it. And so what I did in the end, this is sound really funny, but I used to stand in front of my mirror in my bedroom, practicing different hand positions. So I'd stand like this and say, okay, what does that look like? Or where should I put my hand? Is that better? It was so funny. When I look back now, it feels so funny. But honestly, I was so afraid of people. And I didn't want to look stupid. But I remember there came that time, that worship time, when I finally did it. I finally pushed through the fear of what people would think. And I remember being in the song, not really considering what I was singing. I was just thinking, I'm going to do it. My heart was beating. I was like, my heart was racing. And then I was like, all of a sudden, I lifted my hand to about here. I'm serious. It's so funny now to think about it. And I was like, God, I'm doing it. I was sweating because I was so full of fear. But it was such a breakthrough moment for me. And now I don't care. But it took so much courage to lift my hands in that way. But it's a way to praise. And I love that Yada means to fling out your hands. It's not just a little slow thing. It's like, yes! If you think of events where you have places full of people where you'd see the most expressive Yada praise, where you see people do this, what would you be at? What do you think about? Football! I tell you, it's a provocation when you look at football stadiums because that is true Yada worship, but it's of people kicking a ball. Just everyone put your hand up. See? It's easy. Just a little provocation for us before I move on. If your Yada praise of a sports team or anything else for that matter, is more exuberant and expressive than your Yada praise of Jesus, we've got a problem. Because there is no contest. We need places full of lovers of Jesus who are more expressive and more extravagant than football stadiums and concert places, because we're praising the King of Kings. He is so worthy. He is so worthy. Yada. Number three, Tauda. an extension of the hand in adoration or acceptance comes from an attitude of praising God before the fact, thanking God for things not yet received. Again, it's to do with our bodies. It's a different kind of praise, though, because it's choosing to praise before you get the breakthrough, when you haven't seen the stuff you long to see, when you're in a difficult season. Interestingly, the word for praise in Psalm 100 is this one. Choosing to praise before the fact, thanking God for things not yet received. And sometimes our barrier to praising is that we don't want to be like a fake. We don't feel stuff, we're going through challenges, we're not feeling as exuberant. And so we don't want to fake it, and so we perhaps sometimes choose not to praise because we want it to be genuine. And I just want to say, I totally understand that. And this is a church family where you are able to come and fall apart. And you need to be okay with that. You need to realize this is a safe place to have a really difficult time. And if you're walking through difficulties, it's really important and appropriate to grieve and to deal with stuff deeply. Sometimes we jump too much to, but God's good, and we don't go through the appropriate grieving process. It's really important we do that for the sake of the health of our hearts. But it's also really important to realize that sometimes we have to choose to praise in the valley because it reminds us who he is. I remember when I was going through having a hysterectomy a few years ago. I'm not married, I don't have children, and I had to have a hysterectomy. It was a very traumatic season for me. But I remember when I'd heard the news that I needed this surgery, I was spending time with Jesus in my bedroom, and I was kneeling on the floor, and I remembered a story I'd heard about a guy who had this friend who was going through a really valley season, and he'd made a decision to put a chair in front of him and tell the enemy to sit on the chair. And he said to the enemy, I want you to sit there and I'm going to worship and I want you to watch me worship. And I remembered this story while I was on my knees on my floor, and I've got a chair in my room. And I thought to myself, enemy, I'm going to imagine you sitting in that chair and I am going to choose to praise him and you are going to watch me praise in the mystery. And I put on Raise a Hallelujah. I sang out, I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. And through tears and in the mystery, I chose to praise. Towed a praise. It's a sweet offering of worship to Jesus. We only get to worship him in the pain this side of heaven. Because in heaven there'll be no more pain. Number four, Shabak. To address in a loud tone, a loud adoration, a shout. Proclaim with a loud voice the attitude of putting your whole being into it. An attitude of being totally uninhibited. Would that describe your worship? Notice we haven't got to singing yet. It's incredible, isn't it? You know, sometimes, for me, singing and expressing with my body just aren't enough to express what I'm feeling in my heart, and I just have to shout. Something from deep inside of me is like, ah, Jesus, yeah, woo! There's something I have to express. This, I can understand when Jesus said, if they don't worship, the rocks will cry out. I understand that. I don't know about you, but during COVID, when we had to have our masks on and we weren't allowed to sing in worship, it was horrible for me. Felt like I was being robbed of the very thing I was made for. I sometimes just need to express, Jesus, you're so good! Comes out the deepest part of who I am. And I just want to say, this kind of praise is costly. All of the praise, different ways of praising are costly in one degree or another. But it's costly to make a shout to the Lord because everyone hears you. And you have to push through the fear of what people are thinking. They're probably thinking I'm just being a bit over the top, a bit too passionate about Jesus. Just as an aside, I don't think that's possible. If you get offended by someone's passion for Jesus, the problem is not with them. Yes. I'm just saying, guys, if it offends you, the problem is not with them. We had a guy in our church who would it be so over the top so over the top, and people used to get offended. Can you just keep him quiet? He's interrupting my worship. Went to the leaders to speak to them. Please tell him to be quiet. It's just too much. He's loving Jesus too much. And God said to the leaders, don't touch him. If you knew his story, you would know why he was so excited, because he was a drug addict for years. And he had met with Jesus, and Jesus had changed his life. And his response was an appropriate response to what Jesus has done in his heart. And the reality is, I need to be more like him. It's just that he realizes more about God's grace than I do, but it's just the same grace. I'm just as undeserving. We've got to stir ourselves, guys, to realize and to remember just what Jesus has done for us. If it doesn't provoke some kind of, we don't understand his grace. He's amazing. I just need to be careful. I'm gonna go too long. Okay. Halal, number five, halal, to be clear, to shine, to make a show, to boast, to be clamorously foolish, to rave, to celebrate. Is that your praise? I had to look up clamorously. It means in a manner that attracts attention. Is your worship attracting attention? It's so provoking. David before the ark, dancing in his underpants. Woman with the alabaster jar attracted attention. Everyone said she was wasting loads of money. What is she doing? She shouldn't be here. Jesus had a different opinion. Leave her alone. She is doing something beautiful to me. I was in a worship time once, and God spoke to me about standing on a chair. And I was like, no, God. No, I want to do that. I was right on the front row. Like, no, God, please. I told a friend, I said, I feel like God's just told me to stand on a chair, hoping that she'd be like, she was like, go on then. I was like, no, I don't want to. So I backed up onto this chair and lifted my hands and just sang the song and then quickly got down. And I mean, I don't know what the point was, but I do know as soon as I got down, God said, now pray for the lady behind you, who I know had cancer. It was an easy decision to be obedient. Very easy. I don't know if God will ask you to do something odd in worship. It doesn't really matter. Maybe he never would. I think the question is, would you do it if he asked you? Would you do it if he asked you? Have you surrendered your life to him? Number six, zammah. To touch the strings, to pluck the strings and sing along, to make music accompanied by the voice, to celebrate in song and music. This is what we do all the time. This is familiar, right? So I'm not going to talk any more about this, apart from the fact that it's a great way to praise. Number seven, tehillah, the song of praise, to sing, O Lord, to sing a spontaneous new song, a song of praise and adoration. And I just want to finish with this. This is about singing spontaneous songs. We're so used to following songs that we're led through by a worship team, and it's amazing to have gifted worship leaders, but actually it's not their responsibility to lead us in worship. They get to choose songs and we sing along, but what's meant to happen is as the song dies down, we continue to spontaneously pour out our love to Jesus. What tends to happen is we sing a song, we're walking towards God's presence, we're going deeper, and then the song comes to an end and we just tread water while we're waiting for the next song. We're thinking, I wonder what they're going to sing next. Am I going to like it? Can I sing it? Do I know it? And then they sing the next song and they're like, whoa, okay, here we go again. What's meant to happen is we go, we sing the first song, the song comes to an end, and we just continue lifting our voices, just singing out, singing out, singing out. The next song comes, whoo, next wave, keep going. In between the song, just going to keep loving Jesus, and we get to go deeper and deeper and deeper into God's presence. That's the dream. That's the dream. You know, he's so worthy. And last thing to say before we worship, you guys want to come and get ready. You know, the danger with this kind of message is you could use these things as a tick box. I think there's a next slide. Yeah, so you can use the different types of praise as a tick box and think, oh, I've praised today. I lifted my hands. I've just knelt down. Or I've just shouted. Tick, tick, tick. But that's not what it's about. This is about loving Jesus and pouring out our love for him, no matter what it looks like. It's about us offering a sacrifice of praise. The motivation must be love for Jesus. But it's also true that sometimes the love doesn't feel quite on the surface, and sometimes we have to choose to praise for the love to catch up. So sometimes it's good to just do something, even when you don't want to remind yourself, come on, come on, praise the Lord, O my soul. Come on, wake up. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is so worthy. And so I want to encourage us. We're going to stand together and we're going to express our love to Jesus. And just to say that I want to encourage you to be very, very free. This is not about a comparison thing, okay? This is not about, I wonder what's happening around the room. This is you and Jesus, and you being fully free to be yourself, whatever that looks like. You might want to move out of your chair. Who knows what's going to happen? But the desire more than anything is that we would see Jesus more clearly and be more and more amazed by him. So I'm just going to pray for us. Holy Spirit, would you just fall in this place right now and open our eyes to see Jesus? Show us the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Show us what he's like. Would you show us more of who he is? Would you open our eyes, God, to see who you are, how amazing your grace is, how incredible the gospel is, how amazing your love is for us. God, I pray that you would stir our hearts to give you a sacrifice of praise, to pour out our alabaster jars of costly worship on your feet so that we can hear from you. You have done a beautiful thing to me. Jesus, we love you. We love you. Let's just begin to start lifting our voices to him. Just pray out or sing out. Just lift your voice. Just push through the fear of what people might think. Push through the awkwardness. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Imagine he's in front of you and love him. Pour out your love. Pour out your adoration to Jesus. Look at him and pour out your love. Come on, guys, let's lift our voices. Just look at Jesus. This is all about him. It's all for him. It's all because of him. The only reason you're here is because of his grace. Jesus, we love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. Come on, let's keep going. Keep going. Lift your voice. Look at Jesus. Love him. Shout up us.